So it's John chapter 19, and reading from verse 12. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and sat down in a judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not, the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now they stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with it, vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Well, may God bless to us that reading from his word. I don't know if many of you know this, but Mike, who's here tonight, he is quite skilled in woodwork like myself, and he often comes to me for tips. If you believe that, you'd believe anything. I'm useless at woodwork, and Mike is quite able at woodwork. But I want you to imagine that Mike has a particular purpose in mind. It's to make a nest of tables. And then he plans how he's going to make those particular tables. Then he buys the wood and he works away and making the tables, and he varnishes them at the end and says, finished. The plan he has come to fruition. It's a finished, completed work. Well, God the Son on the cross there in John 19, verse 30 says, it is finished. In the original, it's a single word, finished. Just one word, but meaning and saying so much. You see, God had a purpose. And God's purpose is to save sinners. And then he has a plan by which he will save those sinners. And people could well say, seeing God is Almighty God, and he has such resources at his disposal, couldn't he have come up with a plan to save sinners that wouldn't involve his son becoming man and dying on the cross to save sinners? Well, if there had been any way compatible with the holy justice of God to save sinners apart from God's son becoming man and suffering and dying for sin on the cross, God would have taken it. But the reality is, there was no other way. If there was a way for Mike to make a nest of tables weeks and weeks quicker, days quicker, whatever it would take, he would take it. But if he knew by taking that way it wasn't going to produce the product he wanted to the standard he wanted, well, he wouldn't do that. And God, of course, knows there is no way he can punish sin and pardon sinners at the same time apart from one. And that way involved, in God's plan, the Father sending the Son to be a Saviour, and the Son coming into this world and taking the same nature of the sinners he's going to save. So that's the start. But then, in that nature, he has to obey God's law that the sinners he's going to save have broken. And equally in that nature, he has to take the punishment, breaking the laws of God, that those sinners who he wants to save have committed. So what is needed is somebody the same nature as us, who perfectly keeps God's law and is willing to take the penalty it deserves. And it needs to be somebody divine, because God's purpose wasn't to save one sinner. It was to save a multitude that no man can number. So to bring that about, the person who keeps the law for sinners you're going to save and takes the penalty breaking the law deserves for sinners you're going to save has to be somebody who is divine, so that his obedience and his sacrifice on the cross has an infinite value, so much so that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And here is Jesus, when he says finished, showing that he is God the Son. He's completely finished the great work of salvation he was sent into this world to perform. He had perfectly, completely, fully kept God's law on the behalf of all those he'd come into the world to save. In him was no sin. He was in every respect well-pleasing to God the Father. He did all that was required to be done in the same nature as ourselves, in keeping, obeying, observing the holy law of God. All the things in the Old Testament were completed, we saw the other day, in him. But there was one other thing that was part and parcel of the work of salvation. Not just keeping the law of God on behalf of all those sinners he's going to save who haven't kept it, he has also to take the penalty breaking the law deserves on the behalf of the sinners he's going to save. He has to bear the terrible punishment sinners against God deserve in their place, for those sinners to be saved from that punishment. So he has to give his life a ransom for many. He has to be wounded for the transgressions and bruised for the iniquities of those he's going to save. He has to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In his amazing love, he has to give himself to the death of the cross to save sinners from their sins. And as Jesus says, finished, as he hangs on that cross giving himself an atoning sacrifice for sin, which he knows will be followed by his resurrection that he's spoken of beforehand. He knows he is finished. He's performed. He's accomplished. He is completed. What needed to be done for God to be able to punish sinners and pardon sinners at one and the same time. Because their sins are punished in his Son, so that God justly and freely can pardon the sinner who trusts in the Son, the Lord Jesus, to save them, a sinner. So all he came down from heaven to earth to do was done. All that was required for sinners to be saved in a way consistent with God's holy justice was carried out. Nothing was left undone. Nothing needed to be added to what Jesus had done. It was a finished work. And indeed, his bodily resurrection from the dead was God the Father's testimony to that. That he had come, he had lived a sinless life, he had made an atoning sacrifice for sin, he had satisfied God's justice so that whoever believes upon him can truly be saved. This word finished wasn't a word of despair. It wasn't, I'm finished. It was a word of triumph. It is finished. All the work I've come from heaven to do has been carried out just as it was required, so sinners can be pardoned, forgiven, and accepted by Almighty God. All that was necessary for the salvation of you, a sinner, was accomplished by God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As this finished work was carried out, he cries out, "Finished." But he's no half saviour. The work was finished. Salvation isn't by faith in what he has done, and then some work done by us on top of that. No, he has finished, performed, accomplished what was necessary, what was required to save a sinner. Nothing else is necessary. Salvation isn't by faith in him plus this or that or the other. It's a finished, completed work. And when we trust in him, we are saved from our sins. When we put our faith in Christ, his righteousness, his obedience, as I keep repeating to you, is reckoned to us. And our sins are reckoned to him who took the penalty they deserve in our place. If Christ had not finished the work he came to do, no sinner would ever be saved. We'd all be eternally lost. We'd all be eternally damned. There would be no hope for anyone. The only reason there's any hope for any sinner is because Christ perfectly finished, completed the work that he came to do. All God's law demanded, he met. He kept it, and he took the punishment breaking it deserves. If he'd not finished, accomplished this great work he came to do, no sinner would ever be saved. No sinner would ever be justified. No sinner would ever be at peace with God. No human being would ever go to God's heaven. And God wouldn't be any the poorer for that either. But the wonderful thing is, God purposed to save sinners. And he planned, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how that would be brought about. Through the Son coming, becoming the same as ourselves, the same nature, keeping the law which we've broken, and taking the penalty breaking the law deserves in the sinner's place. And Christ, having finished, accomplished all that's required for the salvation of a sinner, finishes off also the work of salvation in the sinner who believes upon him. I don't know whether Mike's ever done this, but it sounds more like me if I was doing woodwork. But, you know, you're making a nest of tables and you get, you know, three of them nearly done, nearly completed. We just don't finish them off. You don't varnish them. You don't finish the work you purpose to do. Well, God in Christ isn't like that. God completes, finishes the work of salvation in its totality. In other words, Christ comes and finishes the work needed to save a sinner. And the sinner who believes on Christ, Christ finishes the work of salvation in them. He brings to completion the work of salvation he's begun. He's not just the author of a believer's faith, but he's the author and finisher of our faith. So he finishes the work he came to do. First of all, in his person as the Saviour, but also as God raised from the dead, working in the hearts of believers by the Spirit, so that work of salvation that has begun in them is completed. And all the opposition and scorn God's Son received in our nature, all the ridicule, even people saying he casts out demons by the devil, all the disciples letting him down, all the injustice he received, all the pain he had to bear on the cross. Nothing could stop Jesus carrying out, finishing the work he came to do. So sinners like me and you, who believe upon him, can be saved. And having believed upon him, he finishes the work of salvation in us, so that those who believe upon him arrive safely in glory with him at the last. And seeing Christ finish the work that the Father gave him to do, it's important that we who have believed upon him and been saved by him finish, accomplish, perform the work that God has given us to do. What primarily is the work that God has given to sinners he has saved by his grace to do? It's to glorify God. It's to live a life well-pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ had a work given him by the Father, and he finished it. He accomplished it. He performed it. And we as sinners saved by faith in him have a work given to us to do by God, to live to his glory, to seek to live a life fully pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how can we, as saved sinners through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, then not be bothered about finishing, completing, carrying out the work that God has for us as sinners saved by his grace? And that work is to glorify him in the way we live. That work is to live a life fully pleasing to him. That work is to be the light of the world. That work is to be the salt of the earth. You see, when our days are done, when our days are finished, what a comfort and joy will it be to say what Jesus, our Saviour, said: I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. To know in our hearts, since the day we came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have lived to glorify God our Saviour. We have lived to live a life well-pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, those whose lives finish without faith in Christ are finished. All hope is up for them. All is lost for them, because he is the only Saviour. And if a sinner doesn't trust in the finished work of Christ, in a sense, spiritually, they're finished. There's no hope for them. They will be eternally lost. And while Christ finished the work he came to do on earth, and he finishes the work of salvation in the hearts and lives of those who believe upon him, you could say the varnishing at the end is when he comes again in power and great glory. And all those who have been saved by faith in his finished work are now with him in a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness, together forever with the Lord. And there's a sense in which you could imagine God the Son saying on that day, finished. The great consummation of all things. Every sinner God has purposed to save, saved by his grace through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. All together, forever, with him.